lovely listeners. You've just tuned in to It's Time for the Talk with Dr. Faye Weisberg. This is the podcast that's not afraid to dive deep into the world of sexual health with curiosity, respect, and a touch of humor. I'm Deborah Myers, your co-host and fellow explorer in this fascinating terrain, alongside my co-host, Dr. Weisberg. A little bit about Dr. Weisberg, a gynecologist and reproductive medicine specialist, the clinic director of First Steps Fertility and FemRenew, an assistant professor at the University of Toronto, and a gynecologist at Sunnybrook Hospital. A graduate of the University of Manitoba School of Medicine, completed her postgraduate training at the University of Toronto in obstetrics and gynecology. She continued to pursue further postgraduate work in laparoscopy surgery at the Houston Medical Center, as well as more in-depth training at the Reproductive Partners Fertility Clinic in California. Dr. Weisberg's team at FemRenew embraces innovative strategies. Her patients' experience improved health and well-being, empowering them to take charge of their own sexual wellness journey. No stranger to discussing and treating vaginal health issues with her patients, Dr. Weisberg is always looking for a new advancement in medical technology, the latest being the exciting world of platelets-rich plasma, also known as PRP, and the O-Shot. So buckle up for a ride that's informative, positive, and judgment-free. Okay then, it's time for the talk. Let's get into it. Let's discuss a topic that affects many individuals but is often overlooked: challenges with bladder control, commonly referred to as incontinence. Dr. Weisberg, how common is incontinence?
So incontinence, believe it or not, affects approximately 20% of the female population, and it's not related just to postmenopausal. Yeah, girls can have incontinence postpartum, women who've had children. And what I think we sort of need to talk about also is that there's different, incontinence means different things. There's stress incontinence, where you can lose urine with coughing, sneezing, jumping. There's urge incontinence, where you feel like you need to go so badly, and we call it turnkey, where you put the key in the lock and you pee because you're about to get to the bathroom. There's overflow incontinence, where the bladder doesn't contract and then the urine just fills up and then urine just comes out automatically. Neurogenic incontinence, where there's no feeling and you don't know. So incontinence is a sort of a big term for losing urine involuntarily. What I see a lot of is stress incontinence. And that's okay. the stress incontinence where women will cough, sneeze, leak when they end. And that's 20% of the population. It's upsetting. It's embarrassing for women. And I've had patients who say they don't even want to leave their house because they're so worried about it.
What are the factors that are contributing to incontinence?
So incontinence, stress incontinence tends to be more of an anatomical stress problem with the base of the bladder, that it just doesn't keep the urine there properly. It can happen with childbirth. Mainly it can happen with age and sagging of the bladder into the vagina. Smoking, obesity are really important factors that lead to an increased risk of incontinence as well. But it's important that women know that they don't have to leak urine, and that there are options available at sort of any age for this, going to see a physician and having it checked out. The problem is that the treatment options aren't that great. There's surgery. A lot of women are afraid of having surgery, and sometimes surgery for stress incontinence doesn't always work very well. Then there was the whole mesh debacle that happened a number of years ago, where mesh was inserted and then eroded through the vaginal wall. So surgery for stress incontinence has its place, but a lot of women are very leery of it. And postmenopausal women, sometimes estrogen into the vagina will help build up the walls of the vagina and the integrity of the vaginal wall. And because the bladder sits right on top, it will also help with the base of the bladder and the urethra, which help strengthen that tissue and help with the integrity of the bladder neck to decrease incontinence. Another way of treating stress incontinence is seeing a physiotherapist, a pelvic floor physiotherapist, who will teach women exercises to strengthen their pelvic floor muscles, doing the famous Kegel exercise.
Yes, Dr. Kegel.
Dr. Kegel, God bless him. So he knew what he was talking about. Problem is that you can't do one Kegel a day and keep the urine from leaking. I tell my patients to do 3 sets of 10 at least twice a day. And doing proper Kegel exercises, which is 5 seconds to squeeze the muscle, hold it for 5 seconds and let go slowly for 5 seconds really does build up the pelvic floor musculature and decrease the amount of stress incontinence you have.
I remember when, you know, there was the great story about the elevator where you would get in the elevator and hold and then go up each of the floors and then let go and then go down again. You know, it's something we can do all day long throughout different parts and no one's ever going to know it. So I think I encourage everyone to try a Kegel. It's worth it.
Yeah, I think Kegel exercises are important to build up the muscles around the pelvic floor to help with sexual response in many ways, and I think that it just helps women feel more confident when they have strong pelvic floor muscles.
Now, Kegels are one part, and they could even be homework for treatments that are being done. What are some of the treatments that we can look at that, you know, we can help a patient with?
So I think that the Mona Lisa laser therapy, where you're building up the vaginal wall tissue to be like it was before menopause and bringing in blood flow and collagen, also really does help the base of the bladder and the urethra. And it helps with stress incontinence, and it helps with frequent bladder infections, which sometimes go hand in hand in postmenopausal patients. But what's really exciting is using the O-Shot, or using patient's own blood, spinning it out and injecting their platelet-rich plasma into the area between the top of the vagina and the base of the urethra where the urine comes out, and fill it with PRP, helps bring in collagen and new blood vessels, and really helps with the integrity of that very important angle, and really does help stress incontinence in many, many women.
Are the women going to be concerned about any pain during the procedure of the PRP? Is it painful?
So the PRP injection through the top of the vagina actually isn't painful at all. I use a numbing cream. I bring patients into the office, I put numbing cream on, and then I take their blood and then I spin it. So by the time I'm ready to inject, and we put in a very small amount of PRP into that area, and patients don't even know that I'm doing it. So it doesn't hurt, and it really works really well. Many patients can avoid other treatments and can avoid surgery.
So patients can call FemRenew and book an appointment with you for both a consultation and a PRP appointment. Do they need a referral from their doctors, or should they get a referral from their doctors?
Having a family physician involved in the care always makes it better. However, I think that patients can certainly call us and get an appointment without a consultation.
I just want our audience to know that we have some wonderful blogs up on the FemRenew website that will talk about the topic of incontinence. So it could be a valuable resource for those interested in learning a little bit more. Thank you, Dr. Weisberg.
Thank you.
As we wrap up another insightful episode on sexual health, let's reflect on the empowering knowledge that we've shared today. Remember, sexual health is not just a destination. It's a journey towards understanding, self-acceptance, and meaningful connections. Our mission is to provide a supportive space for you to flourish and thrive in your sexual wellness journey. You can connect with the FemRenew team and Dr. Weisberg on the web at femrenew.ca and follow them on Instagram at fem_renew. I want to thank my dear co-host, Dr. Weisberg, for keeping the conversation going, and thank our audience for joining us today. Until next time on It's Time for the Talk with Dr. Faye Weisberg, remember, stay informed, stay open, and most importantly, stay true to yourself.